It is truly an amazing gift that we have to be able to feel surrounded by friends and family while over the other side of the world. And this is, of course, what we are, being brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. How many times have you heard those words? In Jesus Christ, our Lord. Do they touch us every time we hear them said? Or is that just the standard opening phrase that indicates to us that the memorial meeting or that the exhort has commenced? Being in Jesus Christ is an amazing gift that has been offered to us. We're all here this morning because we need to be, and because we've been commanded to be here. We are to remember the life, the death, the burial and the resurrection of our Saviour. Jesus Christ died so that we might accept the life that God offers to us. We are in Christ, and this should fill us with hope and excitement as well as humble us. The perfect man who we are remembering this morning in the bread and the wine overcame the temptations of sin, and he wants to be associated with us. God has offered us life through Jesus if we follow him. This morning we are here to do that, to remember him and to examine ourselves and lay our failings and our weaknesses before God. This morning we are going to take some thoughts from Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians. To start a bit of background through chapter 11, Paul gives a record of some of his life in the Lord, not with the view of big noting what he has done, but rather as an encouragement to the brothers and sisters that they were not alone. The Corinthians were having a problem with authority. They were comparing themselves to each other, as well as the difficulties in their lives to those of the brothers and sisters in other cities, in other ecclesias. Paul speaks in verse 2 of being protective of them. He shows them the lengths he has gone to keep their faith unclouded by wrong doctrine, and what he refers to in verse 13 as false apostles. As a challenge to these false apostles, Paul shows the life of an apostle in three sections. Through chapter 10, verses 1 to 18, he shows the authority of a true apostle. Chapter 11, verses 1 through to 15, he shows the conduct of an apostle. And then verses 16 through to 33, the suffering of an apostle. Paul indicates that he had not taken anything from the Corinthian community, but rather those from other places, verse 9, had sent to him what was needed. In chapter 11, Paul challenges the mentality which is boasting. He does this firstly by showing them what it was that he was doing for them, and then showed them things that he had done for them and for others that they might believe. In verse 23, he speaks of some of his ordeals, not in detail, but just matter-of-factly, sharing the sufferings of an apostle. How would we feel if we read that someone had done this for us? Chapter 11, verse 23, with far greater labours, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes, less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times was I shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, Through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for... And who's he anxious for? Is he anxious for himself going through these ordeals? No, he's anxious for the believers, for the ecclesias. And then brings the conversation of the epistle around to focus the focus of boasting. If you will truly take yourself out of the picture, if you show humility, you will look after and be anxious for others. If you're going to boast, boast in the things that show your weakness. Verse 30. And then Paul demonstrates an episode of weakness in his life. Verse 32. King Aretas was turning the city of Damascus upside down, trying to find him, and Paul fled. That's not the Paul that we normally think of. The Paul that we normally associate with has no fear and no concern for himself. Instead, he's placing his life in the hands of some believers and was let down in a basket over the side of the wall to flee the city at night. It's not something worth boasting about. But Paul took that way out to further the spread of the gospel. And now moving through to the chapter we had read for us this morning, chapter 12. Paul continues showing the Corinthians how little boasting is helpful. Verse 1, I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. He references a memory that he has of some 14 years earlier. This would have been around the time of his first trip to Corinth, possibly around the time of the events in Acts 18. He describes in verse 3 and 4 a vision that he has had, including things that are beyond the understanding of others. You might note that Paul distances himself from this by referring to the event in the third person. The person that had those visions 14 years ago was not the same person that was now writing to the Corinthians. He had been given some experiences that were above that of everyone else. But, lest he should boast, he was also given, as verse 7 says, a thorn in my side to keep me from being too elated. We know that Paul suffered some form of physical condition, but just what that thorn is, we don't know. The word is indicative. It's used of a sharp stake, often used as a means of torture, impaling, or as a splinter entering the flesh, and used figuratively of sharp pain. And this seems to be given to Paul as a lesson in humility, one which he is now sharing with the Corinthian believers. It's interesting to also to note that while he and the other apostles had the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they did not attempt to heal him of the condition. These gifts were given as a preaching tool to share the gospel message and not for the benefit of the apostles. Three times Paul prayed, verse 8, that the impediment might be taken away from him. But those prayers were not answered in the way he wished. The response in verse 9, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. While this statement was primarily relating to Paul's request to remove his burden, the lesson to the Corinthians and to us today is the same. Nothing matters except for the grace offered. The Corinthians were focusing on themselves. Paul shows them that their focus was misguided. Replying to the answer in his prayer, it is the grace of Jesus that they should be looking to. You want to compare yourself to something? Compare yourself to Jesus. And when you find yourself lacking, then you can have the humility to accept the grace that is offered to you. Paul had something holding him back. Grace is sufficient. The Corinthians were boasting over sufferings and trials. Grace is sufficient. Comparing themselves with other believers and communities over who had it tougher. Look to grace. Think of your own life. How much in the last week have you been focusing on getting things right for you? Have you been comparing yourselves with others in this ecclesia or others in other ecclesias? These are the thoughts that Paul here is generating in the Corinthian believers. You want to compare yourself? Compare yourself with the bread and the wine, which is in front of us. Compare yourself with a man who died that you could have life. Do you feel ignored or hurt, either physically or mentally? Compare yourself with the one who is despised and rejected of men. Compare yourself with the one who was beaten cruelly and nailed to a cross, having deserved none of it. How did you go? Are you feeling less sure of your perceived status, less sure of your position? This is the humility that God is looking for. Isaiah 66, verse 2. After showing how great God is and how small man is, Isaiah records God's focus. But this is the one to whom I will look. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Continuing in 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 9. My strength is made perfect in weakness. I love this statement. Literally speaking, these two are, by definition, polar opposites. Definition, strength. The quality or state of being strong. Physical power and energy. Synonyms, power, force, might, vigor. Definition of weakness. The state or condition of lacking strength, a quality or feature regarded as a disadvantage or fault. Synonyms, infirmity, frailty, feebleness, debility, failing. Like darkness is an absence of light, so weakness is an absence of strength. Even the definition of weakness refers to a lack of strength. These are two things that, at least in the physical sense, cannot be the same thing. What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? Often if you'll go to an interview, you'll find that question asked of you. Most answers, people will try and package up slightly differently to repackage a weakness as a strength. Things like, I'm a perfectionist, so I won't let anything out until I'm absolutely sure it's right. Obviously, most interviewers can see right through the typical answers. But when looking at our own weaknesses and our own failings, do we believe our own answers? How honest are you about yourself? So how then is strength perfected in weakness? This is still part of Jesus telling Paul to rely on grace. It is the strength of Jesus which is made perfect in weakness. Not his weakness, but the weakness of those that look to him. God works in and through the humble. Those that can accept what they have been given as a gift and give glory to God. It is in our weakness that the strength of God is perfected. If we admit to no weakness of our own, we are denying God the opportunity to work in us and through us. It is for this reason that Paul then tells us that he has not only learned to live with the weakness that he has, but to be happy that this gives strength to the gospel message. Mark 12, also quoting from Deuteronomy 6, you will know this one. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Any strength that we do have needs to be used for the work of God. Because, as David says in Psalm 18, he is our strength. And also Psalm 8, verse 2, from the mouths of infants and sucklings thou hast founded strength. God works with those who are weak, those who have humility. These are the people that God is looking to place his strength in them. Paul then continues his defence against the accusations that he was dealing with in chapter 11, showing that the Corinthians had witnessed and been the beneficiaries of an apostle in their midst. Not only had he not taken living expenses from them, but he explains in verse 19 that everything that had been done was done for their edification. And you can see in verse 21 and 22 the list of difficulties that the congregation was having, which Paul lists out to bring their attention to the facts that he is aware of what's going on in their midst. The end of verse 20, debates, envyings, wraths, strife, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults. And the end of verse 21, uncleanness, fornication, lasciviousness. In chapter 13, we can see the continuation of the discussion regarding weakness. The Corinthians wanted proof that Paul was speaking the words of Jesus. Paul's response is not to declare that he is speaking the words of Jesus, but instead showing what Jesus overcame. Verse 4 of chapter 13, reading from Young's Literal. For even if he was crucified from infirmity, yet he doth live from the power of God. Jesus also had weakness. The same word which we saw in chapter 12, verse 9 and 10, weakness and infirmity. But he overcame his weakness. Jesus looked past the nature which was the thorn in his side, and through the crucifixion, looking toward life through the power of God. Paul is showing the believers that they don't need to see proof from him. They need to look to Jesus and to see what he has overcome. We have the same weakness that he had. The end of verse 4, Weymouth says, we also are weak, sharing his weakness, but with him we shall be full of life. And the instruction then in verse 5 is the same instruction that we read just about every Sunday morning before we take the bread and the wine. They and we are told to examine ourselves. We are to compare ourselves with our Lord to see if his character is in us. Verse 5, again from Weymouth, test yourselves to discover whether you are true believers. Put your own selves under examination. Or do you not know that Jesus Christ is within you unless you are insincere? Like Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 29, if we eat the bread and drink the wine without considering the sacrifice of the Lord and the humility which that consideration brings, we can expect judgment to fall on us. And again, this is the focus of our gathering here this morning. We are here to look at ourselves honestly. Don't get in the way of your own salvation. We are the only thing standing between ourselves and a relationship with our Lord. 1 John 1, verse 8 to 10. If we claim to be already free from sin, We lead ourselves astray, and the truth has no place in our hearts. If we confess our sins, he is so faithful and just that he forgives us our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. If we deny that we have sinned, we make him a liar, and his message has no place in our hearts. Have we kept our master's commandment? What's happened in the last week? Are we closer to our Lord today than we were a week ago? Right now is our opportunity to throw away our self-assumed status and lay out before our God our failings and our weaknesses with humility, knowing that through our trials, our faith grows. James 1, verse 2 to 4. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Paul, at the end of 2 Corinthians, leaves us with some direction in life. Verse 11, finally, brethren, be joyful, secure perfection of character, take courage, be of one mind, live in peace, and then God, who gives love and peace, will be with you. Brothers and sisters, as we prepare ourselves to participate in the memorial of our Lord's death, burial, and resurrection, let us honestly assess our motives and our actions. Instead of comparing ourselves with other people, let's put ourselves against the Lord Jesus, who had the same weaknesses that we do and yet overcame, knowing that we are not offered salvation because of anything that we have or that we can do, but that it is, as the letter to the Ephesians states, by grace we are saved, through faith, and not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We have nothing of ourselves that we can boast in. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is sufficient for us. We have no one else that we can compare ourselves to. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is sufficient. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.